Jake.
Hi, Matt.
Welcome back.
Happy post-Thanksgiving.
I know. I'm exhausted.
I am so tired,
man. Are you excited to be here, though? The return of the Comixologist?
It's a very happy return.
I've never been more happy in my entire life to see you than I am right now.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know who you were when you walked in.
I know, because I wasn't wearing a hat.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Welcome back to the Comixologist. You know, we're going to keep it nice and short and sweet for our listeners, you know?
That's right, yeah. We're going to, like, you know, we're still settling our stomachs from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
We had a great day today. Marvel 3.0 dropped.
That's right. It did drop. It dropped like it was hot.
It is hot, and my favorite part of the app is the Story Arcs tab.
That's a good... We put a lot of work into that one.
You did.
Yeah. So you should check it out. You should like it.
I do.
Well, I'm glad.
Don't yell at me.
I mean, you should.
So for those that don't know, 3.0, like our comics app, 3.0, does a lot with story arcs. So you could go... You could have like Uncanny X-Men 137 through, you know, a couple of issues before. But if you sort through story arcs, we'll show you Dark Phoenix Saga. And mm-hmm. You can just click that and you'll just get those four issues.
That's right.
It's a good way to discover, you know, classic storylines mm-hmm. in an easier way.
Yeah, it was kind of fun putting those together because I had to know exactly what numbers were in what story arcs.
Yeah, you could be a trivia whiz.
I could be. I already am a trivia whiz.
Wouldn't it be great if Comixology hosted some kind of trivia night at a bar?
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be so much fun.
Yes, it will be. Dot, dot, dot.
Exclusive. So yeah, that's Marvel 3.0. But we had a, you know, we didn't do a show last week.
Yeah, sadly. We were too busy Thanksgiving it
up. Oh my God, it was so busy. Big book came out though, Fantastic Four 600.
OMG.
What did you think? It was like $8, but 100 pages.
Yeah, it was $8 for 100 pages of pure awesomeness.
Really? You loved it?
I loved it. I really loved it. I didn't think I would. I skipped ahead to the end of the first story where the big thing happens.
Why would you do that?
Because I do that with everything. I read the last page of a book before I even start reading it.
So this talks about the Johnny Storm, right? He's a big part of this book.
Spoiler.
You know, if you don't want to be spoiled, we won't spoiler you.
Right, right. But I'm not spoiled. Yes.
I mean, everyone kind of knew he wasn't really.
Yeah, he's not really. Yeah. The thing was, they actually go into that, and he did die 5 times.
Oh my God.
Like they do that because everybody, and I think I feel like he kind of did that as sort of like a little inside joke, like because everybody was saying Johnny Storm's not dead. He's going to come back in issue 600, and he comes back in issue 600. But they actually show him dying and being like resurrected by
brought back.
Yeah, like five, and he does it happens like 5 times.
Yeah, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing because everyone was like, oh, he's not really dead. He's just going to be, you know, hidden or something. But like the joke was on everyone else. He did die like 5 times, and he was brought back with like some kind of gross, you know, worm.
Oh my God, that was gross.
They stitched him back together.
Worm for gross.
So yeah, grab that book. I enjoyed it. Some of the Black Bolt story was cool.
That was really cool. It was kind of bittersweet. My favorite story though was the Franklin story.
Yes.
That was the best one.
I'm assuming...
I like the lead into that, too, with the like the end of the Galactus story.
That was fun.
Where he's like, do you know what your son has been doing?
Yeah. I have to imagine that like the big FF event coming up is going to be like Franklin Unleashed or something, you know, because he's been like creating his own little pocket universe again, like Onslaught, or maybe has. We don't know.
I don't know. Wait, what was Onslaught? Onslaught was from a different universe or
Onslaught
what?
Onslaught was the heroes like consumed Onslaught's being to destroy him, but Franklin had created a pocket universe for
the
them.
Heroes Reborn universe.
Correct.
But Onslaught was like Xavier and Magneto mixed together.
Amalgamation of their psyches into one evil being. It was a nutty storyline. That was when I was, you know, hardcore into X-Men back in the day.
Yeah, the 90s were a very weird time.
Yeah. The reveal where they told you it was Professor X, like everyone just like pooed. Like literally.
Pooed?
They literally pooed.
They pooed.
So
like I want to see the the Liefeld art where everybody poops at the same time.
So another book came out that I got this week.
Muscly Butts.
Was the new Wolverine.
Oh, you got new Wolverine. How's
new
that?
Wolverine.
New Wolverine. New Wolverine.
Did you get it?
I did not.
So this, Aaron, I compared it to kind of a fill-in story because it was like right after he found out that he murdered his own children, you know, without knowing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How'd he find out?
The when he comes out of hell and he goes after the people that like set him up, he has to go through these bodyguards to get to different phases of this group. And then once he gets there, they're all intense spoilers right now, people. So you might want to fast forward. He gets to their hideout and they're all dead. They committed suicide and they play the video where like, hey, you know, those guards that you murdered to get to us, those were your illegitimate children and you didn't even know it.
Whoa.
Delayed reaction there from the town.
Whoa.
That's
pretty intense. But he's on his docking at least.
Oh, who cares about that guy? He's a loser.
Hey, I am really sad that they canceled that. That turned into a really good fucking story. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Really good story. So, you might be the only person I know that was reading Dokken.
I started reading it at a certain point, and it got really good. And they started involving like the Runaways, which I love the Runaways. So
interesting.
It was kind of good. It was kind of like B, you know, hero. It was, but he was like a villain. He was just a jerk, and he was like, it was fun to watch him like try and use drugs against his healing factor.
Really?
Yeah, and he would like hallucinate, and he thought like these cops thought he was like killing a bunch of people, and because he would like black out, and he would like wake up and have done he did something, but you know, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who wants to go read this.
Wow, well, we've already spoiled FF and Wolverine murdering.
Let's just spoil everything.
Spoiling episode.
He has sex with a lot of like drug lords.
Does he have sex with both men and women? Because his sexuality is like he flirts with both sides. I think to get what he wants, right?
Oh yeah, and but it's hot. It's hot.
Does he have relations with Gambit? That was teased in one issue, I think, wasn't it?
I think he tries to like flirt with Gambit, but he doesn't really. There's no.
No one can get away with flirting with Gambit. He's like the master.
I guarantee.
You don't get much better than this.
mon cher.
So Wolverine, this is like a callback Wolverine story, which I'm surprised I didn't love it. You know, he's in kind of a, you know, the Madripoor issues of Wolverine where he gets into the underworld of crime. And this one, there's dragons. But the one thing that bummed me out in the first issue of this arc was that his girlfriend that he got in the Aaron run, which I loved, that he got like this human, you know, reporter, confident woman girlfriend for once that wouldn't take no for an answer with like him saying no to the relationship. He kind of put her to the side, but there's a nice wrap up at the end of this issue that I liked with that relationship.
Yeah, they wrap up?
I take that stuff seriously with my Wolverine books.
Wow. I mean, Wolverine and there's nothing like Wolverines in love. Just really like...
So what else are you reading this week that's new?
I read, well, it since it was a kind of poor week for DC, I've been very Marvel heavy.
Yeah.
And I read FF number 12.
This is that follows like the school, right? Or the kids?
It follows the kids. Like now that Fantastic Four is separate from FF is following the kids. And they in Fantastic Four, that happens, like, there's a very big reason why they've been separated.
Mm-hmm.
Because something happens, there's a big panic, and they hit the panic button. All the kids hit the panic button, and they end up getting teleported to the other side of the world.
Whoa.
Particularly Latveria.
Oh, gosh.
So they're in Latveria, where Dr. Doom and Evil Reed from another universe and Nathaniel are.
Yeah.
And so they go and meet up with them. And they go and talk and do, and things happen. And then it turns out that everybody has ulterior motives. Everybody has ulterior motives for being there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like very strangely, everybody was conspiring to go to Latveria. All the kids, and Nathaniel was conspiring to have them there. Doom was conspiring, and Evil Reed. It gets very conspiracy heavy.
Wow. I'm kind of exhausted just hearing about it.
I know. I'm exhausted talking about it. But, I like the story. I like the writing. The art is awful. It's just so bad.
Who does the art? It's not Michael Lark? Or I guess he was doing the FF 600.
Yeah, he did FF 600.
What about Steve Epting? He didn't even do it? He's been on the FF for a while.
Yeah, let me look for the...
There was another artist that was on FF that I haven't seen much of him, and his art reminded me of Brian Hitch. I want to say Paul Neary, but I don't think that's... I think he inks Brian Hitch.
Yeah, I don't think he does. It was... Juan Boblio, Bobolo?
I don't know.
It was Juan Bobolo. Bobolo.
Well, they had like 13 artists on FF600, so they had to, you know, call in a rookie. Or not a rookie. I don't know if he's right. a seasoned professional.
I just want to show you Evil Reed's face.
That like a nutty face.
Do
right
you
there.
See? Like,
it
do
looks
you see,
like Nick Fury.
It looks like Nick Fury. It looks like somebody like. I don't know. It looked like he was made out of dough. And somebody kind of tried to mold his face. Dough. Even the kids. Like, the kids look gross. It's just like.
Are you going to keep up with this book, FF? Follow the kids around?
I will. I just really don't like the art.
Let me tell you about another book I got.
What?
A book I actually bought in print when it came out, and for whatever reason I stopped. Yeah, print. Can you believe this?
Print.
I had a print book. Haunt.
Oh, really?
From the Kirkman. Bob Kirkman.
Bob Kirkman and...
McFarlane and yes. Ryan Otley.
Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, this was...
Otley does art, too?
Yeah, it was a weird thing. I completely forgot, but I think he did Breakdowns and then Capullo finished. It was like this weird thing, because he was doing Invincible at the time, so I think he could only do Breakdowns. They did some kind of weird, funky art thing to get it out on time. And McFarlane did inks. So
McFarlane
this,
just did inks. Are you sure about that? Because everything looks like a McFarlane creation.
I'm almost positive. I think he did maybe story with Kirkman. Kirkman did dialogue, but
so he didn't contribute to any of the Spider-Man Venom.
I'm sure he had something
spawn
to do
art
with the design of the character. Oh, he did covers too. I think
I just couldn't. I read one issue of it and I couldn't do it.
So this is a story. It follows this priest. Who's been through hell and back. His brother is a soldier that gets murdered, but there's a tie between the two. The brother, the soldier, has taken the priest's former girlfriend away, and they were married, so it sent this guy into this, you know, depression. He became a priest. And something happens where he's killed, and then they come after the girlfriend of the guy, you know, his ex, and...
Spawn.
No, not Spawn. So the brother is with him at all times as like a ghost. So they're kind of talking to each other in this weird, you know, relationship. No one can see him, blah, blah, blah. The brother enters his body and he becomes this haunt creature, which is, you know, he kind of looks like Spider-Man, but with Spawn's kind of weird powers.
So you call him Spawnt?
Spawnt, yeah. I think I got that. When they first released the cover to this, I was like, what on earth is this? It's just Spider-Man and Venom and Spawn. Like, why would I ever read this? And it's pretty good. It's like a horror story. It's so violent, and Otley on violent art is like the greatest thing ever.
It really is. He's the king of violence.
The cover to the next issue that I'm on is, you know, like Haunt putting his like haunt goop and fingers through this guy's eyeballs right on the cover, and there's just blood everywhere. I was like, this is amazing.
Haunt goop?
Haunt goop.
Haunt goop.
Because he like
can you market that?
He does. We can call it hoop. He doesn't have, like, webbing. He just, like, shoots out goop from his hands.
Called
and...
Glaunt. I didn't know where that L came from, but let's just call it.
I like it. Yeah. So that's Haunt. I recommend it to people that liked Spawn and McFarlane on Spawn. So,
but didn't like Spider-Man.
Correct. Do you have a gold?
It wasn't violent
do you
enough.
Have a golden oldie?
Yeah, I do have a golden oldie.
I want to hear it.
The other week or was it this weekend? No, it was the weekend before. We did a... wonderful sale on
the Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Huge sale.
Huge sale. Teen Titans is one of my favorite franchises.
Really?
Period. Yes. Right now, New 52, not liking it so much. But I went back and I read the one story that I had never read all the way through, which was The Terror of Trigon.
Trigon, huh?
Trigon.
Does he have a trident also?
No, he has six. He has four eyes, which doesn't. That's
what?
Yeah.
Quadgon?
But no, Trigon. He has four eyes and wooden horns.
All right.
And he's
it.
Big.
And sounds
he's,
like the '80s right there.
He looks like a big '80s wrestler. He kind of looks like Nick Flair if Nick Flair was red and had four eyes.
I know who Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. I'm sorry. That's
Nature
what I meant
Boy.
To say. Nature Boy. Yeah. Why did I say Nick? I don't even know why I think. Because I'm looking at this thing and it looks like Nick Fury. Oh, yeah. It's like Nick Fury and Ric Flair.
That's like the greatest character ever made, I think.
Ric Flurry? I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds good.
So, Terror of Trigon is, it starts off really creepily where the Judas contract happened. And they're like, and they just got Jericho to join the Titans.
Jericho's the guy with the blonde curly hair.
Yeah, he's love a mute. He gets his I can't remember if it was Deathstroke or original Ravager who slit his throat, but he got his throat slit and it healed, but he got his vocal he can't speak anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he like is very emphatic, and I kind of like that in a character where he doesn't talk, but everybody's like trying to guess what he's trying to say. But he has the power to make contact with people, like eye contact, mm-hmm. and he can project.
I have
his
that
soul
power too.
Into,
I can make eye contact.
He can project his soul into the other person and control them.
I can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
At least not that I know of.
Well, maybe you can try it sometime. So he. So Raven is there, and Raven is like looking all disparaged, and they're commenting on like how she looks a little bit more sinister, like her face is much more angular than it was, and she looks very much more broody. And it turns out that she has become ripe enough for her father to come and take her soul away and push out of his body so that he can have her body to bring him back into the world. And it's a really, really dark story, which I really enjoy. Trigon comes back. He's managed to come back. He basically takes over Raven, and he starts like spreading his influence in the world, and everybody becomes like a tower of flesh. Like people start to like meld together into a tower of like flesh where their faces look like they're screaming.
My gosh.
It's really horrifying.
I'm frightened.
It's really frightening. And the Titans have to face the evil versions of themselves. And in fact, they end up killing themselves. They end up killing the evil versions of themselves, but that act of murder makes them become evil.
What?
It's kind of crazy.
Is this a Nightwing era or Robin era?
It was Nightwing era.
Okay, I can dig it. He had a pretty BA collar.
Yeah, it was
costume.
Huge.
Yeah.
He was rocking it. It was really funny during Infinite Crisis. They brought that costume back because it was because he had to go to the Antarctic with Superboy,
and it was cold.
It was cold, so he wore that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
I'll have to check that book out if I want to get frightened to poo myself.
Yeah, it was really good, and it has like it's got a very good resolution. I thought it was like just very quality 80s comic book.
Huh. My
Ric Flair.
My Golden Oldie is also a DC book.
Get out.
Yeah. I mean, I won't get out, but I'll tell you. It's The Brave and the Bold.
Ooh.
It's new to me.
The new the one that we just came out with, the Mark Waid stuff?
Yeah, 2007, way back when.
Mm-hmm.
So long ago.
So long ago.
This was during the DC era where I don't read ever because I just couldn't get into it.
2007.
Yeah. It's just junk to me. Except for this great book. Starts out with Batman and
Green Lantern,
George Perez on art. Sign me up, buddy.
That's right. It's George Perez back in the house about Teen Titans, man.
His art is so good. So there's a mysterious happening. You know, the Green Lantern finds a dead body out in space via gunshot wound. There's a problem. Batman finds the same exact dead body in the Batcave at the same time. It's true.
It's crazy.
There's also many other identical dead bodies all over the world found at the same time. So there's some kind of clone thing happening. They need to get to the bottom of it, find out what's happening. Great book.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Brave and the Bold, the next series, I think you should really, when we do our next release of Brave and the Bold, which I don't know when it's actually going to be. It might be next week. It might be the week after that. But it will be the JMS run. And the JMS run is... I like the Mark Waid run, but the JMS run is even better.
Really?
Yes. It has my, like, the best stories I've ever heard in a, in Brave and the Bold.
Jeez.
They have a really great one about, Dial a Hero and Batman, which is, it was amazing. And then, but then the best one is the Wonder Woman, Zatanna, and Barbara Gordon crossover.
Do we have any rumors that we might be getting that in the app in the future?
Oh yeah, we'll definitely be getting it. I mean, come on, it's coming. It's like this came. This is part of that that volume.
Okay,
so it's going to come.
I actually thought this was the JMS run. I thought he redid it. I didn't realize Mark Waid and George Perez did a whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. They did a few. Like Mark Waid wrote most of the run, and they had different artists. But then, oh my gosh. The JMS run. It's like, I feel like I hate on JMS sometimes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I mean, like, thanks a lot for leaving Wonder Woman high and dry there.
And Superman.
Oh my God. Yeah. Thanks a lot for putting Superman in that position. Jesus Christ. No wonder they did the new 52.
We're running out of time. I think this is our best show ever.
It was our best short show ever.
20 minutes with Jake and Slim. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's that should be the name of this. 20 minutes with Jake and Slim.
I think that's a genius idea.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's all we have today. Until next time.
We'll see you next week for another 20 minutes, maybe.
No, it'll be longer.
Longer?
I promise.
Oh. All right. Goodbye.